Father, we just ask that you would speak to us right now, Lord. Ask that you would get me out of the way, Lord, and thank you for your word. Thank you for this message. Lord, speak your word, your message to us, Lord. Let us hear what you have to say. And Lord, open our hearts, Lord, that we may take it and do it. Not just hear it, Lord, but take it as you tell us in your word over and over to receive it and then do it. Help us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I recently watched some of a movie with my kids, and Allison may have been in there, but I believe it was called Starstruck. Is that the name of it? Okay. But anyway, the thing that stood out to me in regard to the message this morning was the movie was, of course, obviously fictional. It was about a falling star, but it was actually a girl, and she was a star, and she had fallen. It's all kind of a fairy tale type movie, but this falling star had fallen to earth and hit the earth and, you know, made the crater, and there was this girl. And she was the star that had fallen. But she had this glow about her. And every now and then throughout the movie, and that's what I noticed, the little bit that I saw of the movie, every now and then when she got happy or whatever, there would just be this glow. And otherwise, she just looked like a human. But every now and then, she'd have this glow, and there'd just be this radiance. And then you could tell she was a star. But the thing that stood out to me isn't that what God wants for each of us? Isn't that what He wants for you and for me? He wants everybody to come to Him. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish. And that's what happens if we don't come to Him, if we don't come to Jesus, if we don't come to God through Jesus. We perish in our own sins. We experience eternal death and hell, separation from Him forever. But He says in His word, it's not His will that any should perish, that anybody should go through that, but that all should come to Him, that all should find Him. And so we know it's His will that each of us come to Him, repent of our sins, put our faith in Him, accept His free gift, come to Him, and then be His. And then, as Jesus said in the passage we read a little bit earlier, that we shine bright like stars for Him. That once we're His, that people would be able to look at us at any time and see there's some kind of glow. There's something different here. There's some kind of shining. There's something bright here. What is it about this person? And it's the glow of God. It's the glory of God. And it's what Jesus was talking about when He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven." It is God's will that you shine bright like a star. If you're a believer, that you glow for Him. God tells us in His word, it says in the Psalms, that He wraps Himself in light. He is light. God is already shining. He's already glorious. He's already that glow. He's the bright morning star. The Bible says of Jesus, that's one of His names. It talks about Him in Revelation and calls Him the bright morning star. So He's very bright. God tells us in Revelation that when the new heaven comes and believers are there, there won't be any need for the sun. He outshines the sun. Jesus is a lot brighter than the sun that He made. He made the sun that our earth rotates around. But He's much brighter. And it says in His word that He wraps Himself in light. And Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus, God came down from heaven. He put on a human body for a time. And that was Jesus. That was God among us. Emmanuel, God with us. And when He was here, He said this too. He said in John chapter 8, He said, "I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He called himself the light of the world. He is that bright, shining star. He is the light of the world. And his glory radiates. His glory shines. And you can reflect that glory. God tells us in Corinthians, it says that we'll reflect his glory. We reflect his glory. And so let's shine bright like stars. Well, let's look at an example of this. Let's look at Matthew 2. And if you want to shine bright like a star, let's heed some of the instructions that God gives us in Matthew chapter 2. If you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you in the chair. Just open it, and then you want to turn to the New Testament. That's going to be the last third of your Bible. And that's the first book in the New Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep going. But you want Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 2. And let's heed God's words here. If you want to shine bright like a star, then do some of the things here in these first 12 verses. Let's read them together. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. If you want to shine bright like a star this morning, first of all, be seeking your king to worship. If you want to shine bright like a star, be seeking your king to worship. Always be doing that. Be seeking your king to worship. That's what we see in these first two verses. Look at it. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So these magi, more than likely astrologers, had come, but what were they doing? They were coming seeking the king of the Jews. They were coming seeking a king, a ruler, to worship him. They were coming to worship him. They were seeking the king to worship him. And so they came and they got to this point. And they were being led by a star. God was leading them. But they said, "We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And they were asking, at that time they were asking, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" So they were on a search for this king. Well, you and I need to be seeking the king to worship him. Seeking your king to worship him. Well, first of all, if you're going to seek your king so that you can worship him, and you're going to be doing that continuously, first of all, you need to answer the question, is he your king yet? Is he your king? In other words, do you know him? You can't seek after something you don't know. God loves each of us, and He reveals Himself to us. And He is actually seeking us. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." And He is seeking us. But do you know Him? Do you know this King? Do you know King Jesus? Well, to come to know Him, you've got to come to Him on His terms. And what He says is that if you want to know Him, if you want to have a relationship with Him, He's made a way. You see, you can't right now, if you don't know Him yet. Many people here this morning probably already know Him, and they're seeking their King. But if you don't know Him yet, you've got to come to Him on His terms. And you won't know Him unless you do. But if you want to know this King personally, you got to do what He says. And what He says is that your sins have separated you from your God. And so you don't know your God until this happens in your life. He's seeking you, and He loves you so much, and He's seeking you so diligently that He actually left heaven and came here to rescue you. And He knew you had sin, because we all do, and the problem, the separation comes from our sin. And so He came here, and as long as you admit your sinfulness before Him and you say, "Yes, Lord, I believe You," when you tell me, "I'm a sinner, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." As long as you believe Him and you acknowledge that, and then you know that He left heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, He left heaven and He came here. And the whole reason He came, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. And so God says we've all sinned and the penalty is death. And it means the second death, eternal death in hell, if we die in our sins. So He came to take that penalty, take that punishment for you so that you don't have to take it. So when He came, He endured all the wrath of God against sin. And He came to rescue you from that. So He came to go to that cross. And Jesus came here and He took all of your sin upon Him. And all of my sin and all the sin of the world was placed upon Him. And He who knew no sin became sin for us, is what the Scripture said. And so God put all yours and mine and all the sin of the world on Jesus, and then He punished it there. The wrath of God is against sin, and He punished it all in one time at one place on Jesus. And Jesus suffered and died on the cross, paying for your sins and mine. And He experienced that death penalty, so He died, and He paid in full the penalty for your sin and for mine. He said, "It is finished." And it meant paid in full when He said that. And then on the third day, He was raised from the dead. And so now the sin has been paid for. But now He just offers that free gift of forgiveness and eternal life to anybody that will come to Him. And so anyone here this morning that believes that He did all that for him and believes in Him and trusts in Him and says, calls out to Him and goes to Him and says, "Jesus, that's me. I need You. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. Save me from my sins." Whoever does that, He comes. He comes into their life. He forgives their sins. He cleanses them. And what He did on the cross is enough. And they are forgiven and cleansed and purified by His blood, by their faith. Their faith in Jesus. And so first of all, you need to know the King. And so do that first. Accept what He did for you. Tell Him, "Jesus, save me from my sins. I give my life to You. I believe You did all that for me. I want to know You." And then He'll come into your life and you'll know Him. You'll know when He's there. If you don't know that you know that you know that He saved you from your sins and you have a personal relationship with Him, if you have any doubt about that, you probably don't have it yet. Because He lets you know when you know Him. He speaks to you on the inside. And you have a new relationship. So if you're unsure about that, don't leave this place this morning. Life is too risky. You could die in a moment. Don't leave this place this morning without getting that straight. Come and talk to me or any of these believers here and make sure you got that before you leave here. Make sure you know Him. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And he mentioned it. Many people on that day will tell me, well, Lord, I did this in your name, and I did that. I'm paraphrasing. I cast out demons in your name, and I did this, and I did this. And he said, but I will look at them, and I will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You didn't have a personal relationship with me. I'm sorry. It's too late. Depart from me. So make sure you know him before you leave today. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to anybody. Make sure of that. So do you know your king? And then if you know that you know him, great. So you know your king. So seek, be seeking your king to worship. Be seeking him to worship. And notice here that there's a call to seek and worship him, your king, no matter the cost. Do you know what these guys had to go through to seek this king and to worship him? Well, first of all, they got up all their treasures together. They got all this. Then they went on this entourage and this voyage to go try to find him and seek this star. And then they travel all this way, and no telling what the cost of all this. And then they get to this place. They still don't know where he is. And they ask everybody, hey, do you know where the king of the Jews was born? Yeah. They went through quite a bit of cost to worship their king, didn't they? How much cost do you go through to worship Jesus? What does it cost you? Be continually seeking your king to worship him. Do you do that no matter what the cost? Do you pay tremendous amounts so that you can just worship Jesus? That's what they did. Seek and worship him no matter the cost. Next, know that some will be against you. Another way to put it, you might want to just write down, know that there will be opposition. If you're going to do this, if you want to shine bright like a star, and you're going to be seeking your king to worship him no matter what the cost, like in some countries, you know, a Muslim-dominated country, you know, you very well might have to give your life, and many believers do, and that's the cost of seeking him so you can worship him. Are you willing to do that? It's what Jesus said. If anybody would come after me, he must deny himself. You cease to exist. Take up his cross. Be willing to die. Take up his cross and follow me. Die to self. So if you're seeking your king continually to worship him, next, just know that there will be opposition. That's going to come. If you're doing this, it's going to come. Know that there will be opposition. Another way to put it, you might want to write down, know that some will be against you. But the reason I say know that there'll be opposition is it might not necessarily be people. As a Christian, you've got the world and all of its teaching. You've got the devil working against you, and you've got your own flesh. Your own evil desires work against you. And all that is working against you. So know that some will be against you. We see that in verses 3 to 6. So they're seeking the king. And then what does it say? When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. It bothered him. He was disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him. So there were a lot of people disturbed that they were coming seeking their king to worship him. There was opposition. And all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests, and this is King Herod, teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. And he tells of this prophecy, and it says, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. And so, because of their seeking the king to worship him, people are disturbed. And if you're seeking Jesus continually to worship him, if you're seeking your king, you're letting him rule and reign over you, and you're just wanting to worship him, then things are going to come against you. People are going to come against you. The devil's not going to like it, and you will face opposition. People will be disturbed. The devil will be disturbed. And you will face the opposition. You know, sometimes you see it in even the little things. God always gives me this reminder when I think about how opposition comes when you're trying to follow the Lord. I remember one time I was trying to spend some time just alone with the Lord early in the morning, and I had gotten up to be with him so I could hear his voice and know what he was telling me so I could follow him. And got to that place. I just had a certain amount of time, and then the day was going to begin. Everything else was going to have to happen. And I got to that place, something happened, and I just spilled that coffee all over everything. And had a big cleanup job, and then pretty much didn't have any time left after that. But it was a reminder to me that there's always opposition when you're trying to follow the Lord. There will always be opposition. Know that some will be against you. But know this also. Know that God will sometimes even use them for His purposes. Even those that are against you. Look at verses 4 and 5. So Herod is actually wanting to kill this new king that's coming. But God actually uses him to help the Magi. Look at verse 4 and 5. Yeah, Herod is opposed. All Jerusalem's disturbed with him. But in 4 and 5, they need to know where he was supposed to be born. The Magi need to know that. Well, in 4 and 5, when he had called together, this is Herod, when he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. And so even through the enemies, they get the answer that they need. And so know that also. Know that God will sometimes even use those who are opposing you for his purposes. And next, if you want to shine bright like a star, not only be seeking your king to worship, not only know that some will be against you or that you will have opposition, but next, don't get distracted. You will have opposition, but don't get distracted. That's what we see in verses 7 through 9. Then Herod called the Magi secretly. You see, they were seeking the king, right? That was their mission. That was what God wanted them to do. That was what they were supposed to be doing, was seeking the king. Well, there's a distraction. They're supposed to be on that route seeking the king, but it says in verse 7, then Herod called the Magi, so he calls them somewhere else. Hey, come over here. Get off your course for a minute of seeking the king. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And we know this was just his plot to try to find out where he was. He wanted to kill him. But don't get distracted. You see, yes, of course the distraction came. Herod called him off course and said, hey, listen to this, hey, come back and report to me, do these things, he called them secretly away in verse 7 and 8 from their mission, giving them instructions. They already had the Lord's instructions, but now this man's giving them instructions. Hey, do this and this and this. And he gives them some instructions. But what do? They listen. They hear it all. But then next, so don't get distracted. You don't get. If you want to shine bright like a star, you just be seeking your king to worship. Know that some will be against you. You will have opposition. And then don't get distracted. You know, there are so many things that can distract you from what God wants. You know, God has His will for you at any given time, at any given moment. He has His plan. He has His best for you. And there's a lot of good out there that could distract you. But God has your best in mind. He has His will for you. And that's always His best. So don't get distracted. There might be good things. There might be wonderful things that even look like it's a godly thing. Well, I'll go over here and do this at this time right now. Surely God would want this, but if He has you over here on this course, you've been distracted. You've been sidetracked by some good thing. It happened to me one time. One time I was in Destin, Florida at Bass Pro Shops, and I got to talking to this guy who was working there, and we got to talking about the Lord, and we started having this theological discussion, and I was trying to share the gospel with him, and I got to share, but he had these different points that he was real skeptical about, and he kept bringing up these different things, and then I'd answer it a certain way, and then I kept trying to get back to the gospel, and he'd bring up some other skeptical thought of something. Well, look at this, and we'd go on and on, and pretty early in that conversation, I knew in my spirit, I knew the Lord was telling me, all right, that's it. Go on. Move on. You know, sometimes God tells us, God says if they won't, Jesus gave everybody instructions when He sent them out, and He said, if they won't listen to you or welcome you, Shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them and move on. Well, I knew the Lord was telling me that pretty early on in that conversation. I knew he was saying, okay, that's it, Derek, let's go. But I kept trying to win this guy to the Lord. I kept talking. I think we talked a long time. I don't know if it might have been a couple hours or something. And then I lost, most of the rest of that day, God had other plans for me. When he tells you to move on, he's got other things he wants you to move on to. So I sure missed out on a lot that the Lord had for me that day. But that seems like such a good thing. I was sharing the Lord with somebody. Now, don't get distracted. Don't get sidetracked. There's Jesus and his will and his voice. And it's real simple. That's what we need to follow. That's what you need to follow. Don't get distracted. Next, keep seeking your King in worship. Keep seeking your King in worship. If you want to shine bright like a star, be seeking your King to worship. Know that you'll have opposition. Some will be against you. Don't get distracted. And keep seeking your King in worship. You see, they listened to Herod for a little while, but then they got back on course and they kept seeking their King. And then they finally got to worship him. They kept seeking him and they found him and they worshiped him. We see that in 9b through 11. After they had heard the King, they went on their way. They got back on the Lord's track, didn't they? They went on the way the Lord had. They went on their way. They got back on track. After they had heard the King, this is verse 9, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. So they kept seeking him, and then they found him. And when you keep seeking the Lord, whenever you see the Lord Jesus throughout your day, at any given moment in the day, you're visiting somebody in the hospital, a friend, and you see the Lord, you know the Lord led you there, and you know the Lord used you to pray with this friend. And when you see him, it just makes you overjoyed. When you see the Lord throughout your day, it makes you overjoyed. And that's God's goal. He wants us to gaze at him and glance at all else. Do Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus and live that way. And when we see him throughout our day, at any given moment, pray that he'll open your spiritual eyes and that you can see Jesus among you and around you, everywhere you look today. And when you see him, he will bring you joy. When they saw that star, they were overjoyed and they were overwhelmed. And you'll be like that. When you're in his presence, there is fullness of joy. God tells us that in Psalm 16, when you're in his presence, when you see him, when you find him, you'll be full of joy and you can worship him. And then what did they do to worship him? They gave to him. They gave to him. They gave gold and incense. They had carried it all this way. They got their gifts ready long before and they brought it to him. And so when you see Jesus, when you come to a place like this, seeking him to worship him, have your gifts ready. Do you have your gifts ready? In every way. Your time, be ready to give him your time. Before you leave here today, be ready to say, God, I'm totally yours, Jesus. I want to worship you today, so I want to give to you. Because I love you, I want to give to you. That's my worship. That's what they did. It says they came to worship him. What did they do? They gave. They gave to him. They gave him all of this, expressing their love to him. When we come to worship him, whether it's here or whether you're worshiping personally, at home in the morning or at night or at midday or whatever, when you worship him, give to him. Give him your time. Say, God, I'm totally yours. It's actually your time anyway. How do you want me to use it? I give it all to you. You just order my day and I'll just do what you want. Give him your time. Give him your talent. Go ahead and tell him, Lord, I know none of this is mine anyway. I didn't make these talents. You gave me all this. When I became a believer, you gave me spiritual gifts, as it says in your word, in a number of places. Oh, Lord, thank you for these talents. How do you want me to use them to serve you? He wants us serving him. That is his will. Read the article in the Friendly Fellowship this week, if you haven't gotten a chance to read it yet. He wants us to serve him. That is his will. He gave gifts to the body of Christ, to all believers, in different ways, so that we could serve him and all function as the body, doing everything that he desires. And so, every believer should have a ministry. Every person here should have some ministry. And if you're ready to serve, you come and talk to me, or you talk to your Bible study leader. You need to talk to me and your Bible study leader, whoever that is. We'll get together and we need to talk about how the Lord is calling you to serve. And so give Him your time. Give, just like they gave these gifts, give Him your time when you worship, your talents. Give Him your treasures, your resources. Do you prepare your gift, your financial gift, your tithe, the first tenth that's the Lord's? God tells us in His Word, of all of our income, the first tenth is His. Malachi chapter 3, read that. That's God's. If we don't tithe, or if we hold back any of the first tenth of what we bring in, if we hold some of that back for ourselves, Malachi 3, God says, you're robbing me. That's not yours, that's mine. The first tenth is mine. And you don't want to rob God. Read Malachi chapter 3. And so, of course, the first tenth is Him. Well, do you prepare that? I don't know. Maybe you give monthly. Maybe you give weekly. Maybe you give at different times. But do you prepare your gift? And you know, some that might be a new concept to some here, a tithe. What is that? What's He talking about? Well, God wants us to give the first tenth is His. You say, well, what is that? How do you figure that? Well, you know, let's say that this week I brought in $100. I did some work somewhere or something. I brought in $100. Well, that's 100 period, 00. You take that period and you move it one to the left. That's a tenth. You move it one to the left. $10. Oh, I better give the Lord at least the first tenth. $10 is His. Give it to Him. Give it to the church where you're a member at. Give it to where you're a member. And so give to the Lord. And finally, let Him change your direction. You know, once you worship Him, He's going to change your direction. Yeah, look at verse 12. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. See, worship brings repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a deep change of mind. You're thinking one way about some things, and you worship the Lord, and He convicts you, and you repent. You turn, you say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm sorry. I'm going to go the direction you're telling me to go in now. And that's what we need to do. So if you want to shine bright like a star, be seeking your King to worship. Know that some will come against you. You'll have opposition. Don't get distracted. Keep seeking your King and worship Him and let Him change your direction. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for helping us and teaching us to shine bright like stars, Lord. Help each of us to do these things. And Lord, show us, Lord, as we've worshiped You this morning, what needs to change. Lord, do we need to give more of our time to You? Do we need to seek You more in Your presence, worshiping You? Do we need to be giving? Are we not giving our talents to You, Lord? Do we need to be serving You? Lord, do we have a ministry yet? Lord, am I just a believer who's coming to church and I don't serve You in any way? I don't have a job in Your kingdom, in Your church, Lord? Oh, Lord, give me that desire. Help me to go to my Bible study leader, my pastor, and find how I'm supposed to be serving You. Lord, change us all. Change our direction, Lord. Tell us the things that You want us to take with us, Lord. How are we doing on our tithes, on our gifts, on our giving for You, Lord? Tell us what needs to change. And Lord, we will change it. We will give everything to follow You. Lord, You told us to take up our cross. We will help us, Lord, to give our lives to follow You, Lord, like they have to do in so many countries. It's all Yours anyway. We love You and praise You and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, if you're one of those that felt like, as we talked about things and as you heard God's Word, you felt like you're one that doesn't personally know Him yet and have that relationship. And if you're convicted by the Lord that you don't want to leave here not knowing Him, you want to make sure that you have some kind of doubt that you're tired of dealing with and you just want to make sure you know Him, then now's your time. When Chris leads us in this song, you step out of your seat and come up here and you can pray about it at the altar. Or this altar is open. You can pray about anything. If you just have something you need to pray about, you go ahead. But if you want to personally know Him, now's your time to come. Come and make that known that you want to know the Lord, and we will help you with that. We will rejoice with you. We will pray for you as God's people. Maybe you're joining this church. Maybe you realize God wants you to connect to a body, and that this is the place He's telling you that this is your church family. This is where you're supposed to be. You got to be a member of a church to start serving Him as He wants you to be a minister for Him. And so maybe you haven't been a member of a church in a while, or you're looking for a church. Well, if this is the place God's telling you, then now's your time. When Chris leads us, you come and you say, "This, I want this to be my church family. This is where I want to join."